Hi there, folks. My name is Emily.
My name is Elle.
And I don't like tomatoes. I've been needing to say this for so long because Elle really likes to feed me tomatoes because it's the only vegetable that she can grow and she's very proud of them. And so I try to eat them for her sake because it makes her feel really good that she can actually bring something to life instead of just, well, you should see what happened to the hamster, the goldfish, the cactus, the orchid, the little rose bush outside. Basically not a very living thumb. But she has these tomatoes and they're beautiful, but I hate them. They're so disgusting. And I've been meaning to tell you, and I just thought that doing it in front of all of our fans would help, because then they would hear my screams if you got really mad at me.
So this is probably just a ploy for attention. And you probably just really love the tomatoes and you're just saying that. Tomatoes self seed. There's so many of them. That's why we have to keep eating them. And also the cactus is not dead. It's waiting for it's a phoenix that will be regenerated through itself.
Okay.
Cacti cannot die. That's our motto.
Oh, cacti. Well, you know, when you say it like that.
Yeah.
Can we make bumper
stickers? The cactus lives yet. You'll see. You'll see.
Okay. I'll see.
Speaking about things with second lives, what?
Oh, you know what? Oh my, you are getting really good at these transitions. By the way, can you all please applaud for Elt right now? Because that actually is such a good transition into the book we're about to talk about, which is The Westing Game. And the reason it's a good transition is because one character who's supposedly dead is not dead and keeps on faking his death like 6 times. So,
spoiler alert.
Oh yeah, spoiler. But this show is like a perpetual spoiler alert. If you don't already know that, then you haven't listened to enough episodes.
And it was published in 1978, so I think we're allowed to say.
Yeah, statute of limitations at this point. If people can know that Darth Vader is Luke's father, I think we're good to go.
I think I knew that already.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Oh, it's Harry Potter. Who cares? You can't spoil Harry Potter for me if I don't like it to begin with. So,
oh, that's true. The Titanic sinks.
Okay, that one. That was harsh.
Sorry.
That was harsh.
Anyway, so The Westing Game is by Ellen Raskin. It was published in 1978. The basic synopsis is that there are 16 strangers who get caught up in this game devised by a dead man to win his inheritance and catch his killer. So it's a murder mystery for tweens, supposedly, though I'm not really sure that that's the right age group. And not because it's inappropriate, just because, and we've talked about this before, I don't think, neither of us thinks that kid books need to be, you don't need to talk down to kids. You don't have to be Captain Underpants. You can be well written and be for kids. But there's just something about this book that's odd. And I don't know. Though maybe in 1978. Maybe tweens then. But I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just kind of weird.
It seems like she's talking to adults in it. It does not seem like she's talking to kids. Or maybe like older teenagers. It doesn't. It's true. It does not feel like. Yeah, and this is also one of those books that every 5 years someone decides they're going to do an adaptation of it to film and it's like never panned out. So I think I saw an article recently that they were going to do, but who knows? Who knows? Who knows what will be?
That would be fun. Though I think they'd ruin it today because like there's a few things in the book that sort of are like the 70s version of woke because there's a black female judge, which was obviously a big deal for the time. There's some Asian characters who the white lady, I mean, she's annoying to everyone, but she kind of, you know, uses the wrong term, but it's not really the focus. But I feel like if they adapted it now, all of those things would be tenfold.
Yeah.
And that's not the purpose. Anyway, so just getting into our ratings. So violence is a 2, language is a 0, and romance is 1.5.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
There's not really a lot of romance, but one of the girls is getting married and it's talked about all the time. She's a fiance, she's engaged, blah, blah, blah. And then one of the girls has the, or one of the guys has a crush on her, or she's a crush on one of the guys.
Turtle has a crush on Doug or something like that.
Okay. So it's there. And there's a little bit of a suggestion between two of the couples that one of the wives and one of the husbands are.
Yeah.
I think they just become business partners, but the spouses become jealous of that. So
yeah,
there's enough in there, I think, to make it a 1.5.
Yeah. And it's also the way it's described. It kind of reminds you of almost like a Clue thing, or kind of reminds you of Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. It's the setup is like they get these 16 people are part of a couple different families, because some of them, it's the same family members. They all get them somehow to move into the one apartment building. And they've all been living in the same apartment building. Then eventually this whole thing is set up for them to, you know, catch the killer. But there's not actually an actual killer. So there's some right. things that seem like, oh my gosh, he's like, one of you might be the killer. And then like, none of them are the killer, because there is no killer, because he's still alive. It's one of those things that it has like two or three different endings. And then it keeps making it seem like something big is going to go down, and nothing really big goes down. Because it's short and it's very concisely written, so it keeps your attention and you can keep going through it. But certain, you think that something bigger is going to happen and it doesn't. That's kind of just fun. And there are certain things that she gets very right with her short descriptions. So for example, he dies. Then you have the one mom who's convinced that she's like the direct descendant from him, or that she's related to him somehow. So it's like, what's your occupation? So she writes that she's the heiress because she's going to get the millions of dollars. Right. And that very much describes the mom. That's like totally her type, or the way it describes the different people like that. So that's very well done. But at the same time, because it's so concise, we don't really know the people. Like we do and we don't know them at the same time. You could kind of envision them. I mean, there's something interesting. You have the one sister who's engaged to be married to this doctor, and you could tell, like, it seems she likes him, but it doesn't seem like she's necessarily ready to marry him. I mean, eventually she goes back to medical school. She goes to medical school, I think, and becomes a doctor also, but it's nice that she does end up marrying him anyway. It was just like, now I wasn't ready to marry you, but it's not like, oh, I'm like, I'm never going to get married, you know, and I will not be a housewife. So
he
kind of does that, but it's so much of it, like, well, here's massive spoiler, that Turtle's the one who ends up solving everything, but we don't really, like, why is Turtle going to be the one to solve everything?
Really bothered me.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody else was necessarily primed to solve everything, but the way Turtle figures different things out, it's like, well, why did you figure that out? Like, it didn't fit. Yeah. There's something about it that didn't, like, we didn't see her as being the kind of person who would have figured it out. So I'm glad she's playing the stock market at 12, but I don't know. She didn't seem to be the kind who was going to be figuring out the mystery, and even the things that she did figure out, it's like, okay, randomness.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of setup and an interesting concept, but just some things didn't pan out. Like, even all the clues, and they're supposed to solve this mystery, which, first of all, maybe because the character wasn't actually dead, once you realize that, all of the tension and the drama is lost, because there's not, you don't really need to catch a killer.
Yeah.
So, and then the clues that they're supposed to solve, none of them, by the time they solve it, it doesn't really matter anymore. And it's because the guy, Samuel Westing, loves the United States, so the clues are different lyrics of America the Beautiful, and they're all supposed to figure it out, but I wasn't really clear why.
Yeah.
Right?
It's one of those books that if you just sit down to read it, and you can read it in one sitting, and you just read it, and you're done, and you walk away, you'll like have a fine feeling about it, but if you actually stop and start thinking about it, you're like, wait a second, that part didn't really go, and I don't know if that like really, I'm not necessarily satisfied with this part.
It definitely,
as long as you don't think too much about it, then
satisfied.
You can enjoy it. And most of the stuff, our ratings are good for it. It just kind of, I mean, it's been in print for so many years. I mean, it's probably considered like, you know, an American classic now or whatever, but it's, yeah.
It just sort of missed on a few things.
Yeah.
It just didn't quite come together.
She gives everybody an epilogue, though. She tells what happens with each of the characters. And you kind of see them, like, getting sort of what they want. That the restaurant guy becomes then goes back to inventing stuff.
Mm-hmm. The heiress becomes like
the restaurant who runs all the
yeah.
So that was like interesting stuff. That was
But
also it's so short. Like there's not.
Yeah, there were each character at the beginning. It sort of intimated, like all these characters say they're one thing, but they're actually something else. So it sets up, ooh, that there's going to be this. And you do find out that Turtle's dad is a bookie or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of funny. Yeah.
But there's a feeling that there's going to be more of these little secrets that come out, but none of them really do. And then the woman who's, I don't know, it's just, you almost learn a lot about people. And then there are just all these gaps, which if filled in, just would have made it more satisfying.
Yeah. I think that's, Because also, even when you find out when the dad's a bookie, it's just funny, but it's not like, oh, we found out the secret. It doesn't feel like that. It's just like, oh, right. Oh, that's funny. Like,
right. It doesn't really have anything to do with the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Language, though, is a 0. So great. You know, that's always good. I mean, that's one thing that if you did want to have someone younger in your life read it, you could recommend it because of that. And violence, it's there because there are all these bombs that go off, but nobody really gets, well, I think one person might like break an arm, but no one gets disfigured or hurt like long term. And it's more of a, and it's not really, it's just these bombs go off, but they're, why am I not explaining this well?
Yeah, but you also have him being dead when Turtle first goes into the house and she finds the dead body. And then he collapses in front of everybody and he dies again. He dies 16 times before he actually dies in the epilogue. Yeah, both of those.
But I guess what I was trying to say is, it's not gory. It's not like these bombs are going off and limbs are flying. There's blood and guts. It's more like they're meant to be diversions.
Yeah.
They're not really meant to hurt people. So it is a little bit different than bombs in another situation.
Yeah. Maybe the understatedness of it is probably why they consider it appropriate for a younger audience. Because for younger audience, they're not going to be too worried about the character development. As in, things that an adult might not be satisfied from, I think for a kid it's fine. Because they see enough of a progression that they'll be happy enough with it.
And the characters do grow. They can probably
connect to Turtle. Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
That's it. Maybe that's why. But it's basically a book that you can't think too much about.
Just have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, do we recommend it?
I don't know. Yeah, you can, according to what we said, you can make your own decision.
No, well, that's fair. Yeah, I think like
not here or there about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really all I have to say about it.
Yeah, that's all we got. Which means that now we can have more time for trimming the tomato vines, as we all should, to keep them healthy and flourishing and producing many more tomatoes.
Can we talk more about this book here? Let me see what else can I possibly say.
All right, stop trying to get out of your tour, Emily. You know you love the tomatoes.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers, peoples.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Oh My Word. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to subscribe and write a review. And please share the show with your friends. If you didn't like it, you can share the show with your enemies. Please also follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. There we post episode updates, our ratings for each book, and also our personal reading recommendations. Music for the show is by Tim Burke. Editor is Gabriel Yaffe. We'll see you next week.